on Indie 1015 CIOI.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Sarah Jessica, and this is Hot Shots on Air, and welcome back if you're a returning listener. If this is your first time, then thank you so much for tuning in, and I hope you enjoy it. Tonight, I am hanging out with Boxcar Ben. Ben is an alternative rock slash folk musician based here in Hamilton. You can find Ben on Instagram and Twitter under Boxcar underscore Ben, and on TikTok under Boxcar Ben. So, hey, Ben.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, anytime. Just to kind of start everything off, how would you describe your sound and style as a musician?
It's sort of a really loud one-man band. My short answer is like alternative blues rock, sort of what you just said.
Mm-hmm.
It's inspired by a lot of different elements, which is sort of compiled over time to sort of build a sound. But I feel like I'm sort of getting a feel for this sort of like acoustic electric inspired alt rock sound.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Totally.
Yeah.
And who would you say are your biggest musical influences?
Like longtime Soundgarden fan. Mm-hmm. I love all the old like 90s grunge music all the way back to like classic rock music, forward into like the indie alternative rock realm to like math rock. I like stuff like that. I'm just a listener of all realms of music. I love jazz, blues. I love like hip hop and EDM. I just think good music is good music, to be honest.
Totally. Oh yeah. And what do you feel as though you take from your major influences?
I try to take like inspiration first, and I'm not a big mimicker of mm-hmm. someone else's stuff. I try to just sort of like incorporate it through my sort of siphon of my own experiences and abilities and stuff like that.
Sure. Yeah, totally. Do you remember what you listened to as a kid? Like what sort of music played in your house growing up? And do you feel as though those early influences have an impact on your current style?
Yeah, I think that's where the classic rock thing comes from. Mm-hmm. I grew up in Northern Ontario, and that's pretty much all you get on the radio up there.
Yeah.
My dad was a guy of the 70s sort of like classic rock disco era. So mm-hmm. there's a mix of that in there for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Can you think of any bands specifically?
Cause I was like a teenager in the like Korn Limp Bizkit era.
Right.
And he came into my room one day and turned off my stereo and was like, "Yo, this is Pink Floyd."
Mm-hmm.
And then like proceeded to show me like a lot of really cool music, like Jimi Hendrix and the Beatles and like all kinds of stuff. And like, kind of broadened my perspectives of like what music was, all the way to like, he was into like the 80s, like Genesis and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Cool.
Yeah. And then at that point, I just kind of opened myself up to whatever I could get my hands on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Totally. And what was the first time that you listened to a piece of music and it sort of like made you want to create music? I find that every musician kind of has that, whether it's like an artist, an album, or maybe a song where they listen to it and they're like, wow, like I want to recreate that. And now I want to create music. Was there a sort of turning point like that for you?
Oh, I'm trying to pinpoint the like person that that would be nailed down to.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to say Hendrix.
Okay.
Yeah. Like I think I was like, yeah, music is cool and whatever. And I sort of was like in music lessons at a very young age.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as I like found Hendrix's like Woodstock show, I remember like a lot of things changed for me in those like formative years. And like I picked the guitar up and like was, you know, more interested in acting like a stupid rock star and, mm-hmm. and with my friends in my basement than like being a proficient piano player of any kind or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, totally. And, how did you first get into playing music? Did you start on an instrument? Did you start on vocals because you're, you know, a singer as well? What did you start with?
I hated singing at first. Mm-hmm. I was in church, so I think that's my first experience with singing itself.
Mm-hmm.
But I was a shy kid and I didn't like to sing in front of people. But my mom put me in piano lessons first.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, I was introduced to percussion. I did maybe about 5 years of drum lessons, mm-hmm. private drum lessons. And then I kind of threw everything out the window and went and got a guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And just was like in like garage bands with my friends until we were able to get onto like some sort of a stage situation kind of thing. And yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And are there any other instruments that you'd like to play?
Like, I would love to own many, many instruments, but I'm running out of space in my personal home studio here. So yeah, it's what I've kind of learned over the years with having like multiple interests is eventually it's a good idea to kind of wean them down into the ones that you're good at. So I've sort of focused on guitar over the last few years.
For sure. And, when did you start to gain some confidence in playing music or in creating music? And did you feel as though that took a long time? Was that a bit of a journey for you?
Yeah, I think so. Mm-hmm. Probably a little bit of a late bloomer compared to many. But I did give it a pretty good go for a long time. In my like early 20s was probably when I started to like really put myself out there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But like, I think Hamilton has really, really helped me feel confident as a musician a lot.
Yeah.
It's a very supportive city.
Yeah. Yeah. In what ways do you feel as though the city and like maybe the music community have helped you to grow that confidence?
Well, like my early years, and we're talking like 4 or 5 years ago, but, I was playing busking on the streets, during art crawls and eventually a super crawl or two. And just random people will come up and they're like really nice and really supportive and like are actually genuinely like interested in what you're doing. And mm-hmm. they'll find you online and follow you. And like the people of this city are super supportive to the arts communities. And I think that's just snowballed for me like over the years. It's just sort of been like, accept whatever offers come at me. And I've worked with the actual city of Hamilton now. I've done a lot of the venues in the city. Like it's a very supportive city for sure for musicians.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, so you mentioned that you, were in lessons for piano first, and then you dropped that for guitar. Did you end up taking guitar lessons?
Sort of. Like I took a course in high school, mm-hmm. And then I joined like a guitar club.
Mm-hmm.
So we would learn songs and then get together weekly and play the songs all together in a group.
Mm-hmm.
And technically just self-trained after that.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, what do you feel as though is the best piece of advice that you took away from music lessons?
I think for me, it's probably that there's so many things to music. Mm-hmm. That there's always something else to learn for musicians, and there's always another plateau to get to that it seems to come with diligence and practice. Mm-hmm. And I think that gives you a drive to want to keep practicing. Mm-hmm. It's something that you know teaches young minds consistency, I think.
Yeah. Do you think that most people who are pursuing music as a career or even as like a hobby, do you think that most people should take lessons? Or do you think that, you know, with the internet and everything, it doesn't really matter anymore because you kind of self-teach yourself?
I think both are super viable options. Mm-hmm. But I don't think there's anything wrong at all with taking lessons. Mm-hmm. I think that's if the opportunity comes to you, it's something you should definitely do. If that's something you feel like you could do, only to gain from that for sure.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Do you remember exactly when you started creating music? And do you happen to remember the first song that you wrote?
This is going to age me really bad.
Yeah.
I had a 4-channel mixer.
Right.
An analog mixer that I ran RCA cables out to a tape deck.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I was probably in about grade 9, so maybe about 15, 14, 15.
Mm-hmm.
And I have no idea what the song was called, but I the funny story behind that is I took the tape to school, to the high school, and played it for this girl I had a crush on. And she was like, "You're never going to be a musician. You know that, right?" Like,
oh god.
It kind of crushed me a little bit.
Yeah, that's horrible.
But obviously, I kept trying, mm-hmm. and I think that's the important takeaway: is like, just keep going. You get better.
Yeah. Well, here we are. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was wrong.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What girls can be mad cruel in high school, dude.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I'm aware. When did you begin to look at music as something more than a hobby?
I always thought that it could be something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think, like, because it's just like a dream that I think comes along with seeing those other people doing it. When you're like not doing it, and then I don't know if it ever really feels like you've made it in any sense, because there's always a further goal to attain. There's always some kind of ladder to climb, in a sense of like, do I consider myself a professional musician compared to who I used to be? For sure.
Mm-hmm.
I've put a lot of work into organizing myself and creating sort of a business out of it. And it takes a lot of work. So I would, as self-respect, I think I have to like, you know, acknowledge that and say that, like, you know, probably when it started making me some money, I guess, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really want to pin down like this was when, cause it still doesn't really feel like I'm all the way there yet.
Right.
But I've come a such a long way for sure.
Mm-hmm. Do you think there's like a milestone that you'd like to hit, and that's when you're going to be like, oh, I've made it. I'm out of the hobby phase.
It definitely feels a little further past the hobby phase at this point.
Okay.
But I think like for me, it's always been a very like realistic goal of mine would be to press a vinyl.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to do that at some point. It's just feasibility, and then like, you know, you want the recordings to be done properly.
Mm-hmm.
It, there's a whole list of schematics involved in making that happen, but mm-hmm. it's slowly, you know, something I feel like could be a reality at some point. And then, I'm just happy to be able to play.
Mm-hmm.
Like you could obviously be hit by a car or whatever in this reality, and I could lose mobility of my body or my life in general, and what would I have done, you know? That's I just try to use the things that I love to do while I'm here. Keep going.
Yeah. When did you join your first band or perform as a solo artist?
I sort of joined my first band probably around this grade 10. Mm-hmm. I'm 15, 16 years old. Mm-hmm. Was when I bought my first electric guitar. Mm-hmm. And then my first solo performance was actually probably when I was about 25, I would say. 25? Yeah. And it was at the Stocky Center in Parry Sound.
Right.
which I did a bunch of like small house party shows that year.
Cool.
Was sold t-shirts and everything. It was an experience for sure.
Yeah. Totally. So you grew up in Parry Sound. Was there like a music scene like in there, or what was it like if there was one?
Like you were pretty much a cover band if you were in any bands.
Right.
You could possibly get a bar gig. And there was very few places to play. And then obviously up there, the big goal is, I think it's called the Northern Lights Festival or Festival of Lights or something. I don't know. Up in Sudbury, there's a music festival every year that a lot of musicians should aim for if they're up in that area.
And so now that you're here in Hamilton, how would you compare the music scenes? I mean, is that even comparable?
It's not even close. There's so much more resources here. Yeah. It really is a musical city, man. It's why I came for sure.
Yeah. And how's that experience been so far since you've moved here and since you've like become an artist here?
It speaks for itself. I think like it really, it has been like a really intense growth for me. And I feel like I'm very proud of how much I've been able to grow in this city in the last like 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, that's so good to hear.
Yeah, it's a great resource for a lot of musicians. You just got to put your neck out there and try.
What do you think are like the biggest contributing factors to the vibrant arts community here?
The city's got two schools. Mm-hmm. That are major schools. There's a lot more schools, obviously, but it's just a mixing pot, I think, of varying levels of income, of varying regional backgrounds, very very different social experiences, all mixing together and having outlets. There's tons of people that understand, like venue owners that understand what value there is in these local outlets for the community members that are one of the, I think personally, honestly, the most creative artists and musicians in the country.
Oh, totally. Yeah. And who are some talented local artists that you think deserve more spotlight?
That deserve more spotlight? Oh my God! Any of them? There's so many talented musicians. There's quite a few of my friends' bands are doing a lot of really really cool stuff. Shout outs to I don't know, Holocore and Alice in Transit, who are both in the Rock Search right now. I have friends in both of those bands. They're very cool people. We've got like I know there's musicians in the band Linebeck that I've been watching. They're doing really, really interesting things online together and like live stream concerts and stuff like that. And they're doing really well with that. There's a lot of up and coming hip hop artists that are like super supportive of each other. They kind of like, I find they move through the city like this sort of like entity together, and they put on like crazy shows, which as for me, I've actually sort of dipped my toes in since we spoke last, with the K Triggs of the world, and gotten to know those guys. And they're really, really ambitious kids.
And Yeah, who would you say, if you had to choose a dream collaboration, so with anyone, you can totally go big, any musician, who would that be?
Like local or just anyone ever kind of thing?
Anyone or ever.
In between. Anyone ever?
Yeah.
I don't know. Bob Marley.
Cool.
I love Bob Marley. Yeah. He's such an interesting human being.
Yeah. What do you...
Sorry.
That's okay. What would you picture making?
Together?
Yeah.
Music, hopefully, yeah. I think, you know, I obviously let him sing, and I could formulate something in the background with my guitar, maybe. I don't know. Okay. It would just be amazing to work with anybody, really. I'm sort of starting to get a feel for collaborations this year, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Oh, I bet. And who would be someone locally that you'd love to collab with?
I've got plans with quite a few people right now. And strangely enough, a lot of them are in the rap community, but there's a lot of like interesting people that just sort of like pop in and out of my timeline that I think we're all going to work together soon. And I've got like, I don't know if you're aware of a gentleman named Leo Dragto. He's a folk musician as well. And he's like a phenomenal singer songwriter.
Okay.
We've sort of jammed a couple of times and we're going to work on some projects together recording wise. And, I've got some stuff in the works with K Triggs, Flozes, Smoothie Lou, those three guys on a track together that I'm producing. And, yeah, there's quite a cool few like local bubblings happening. It's just it's going to take a little bit of time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, totally. And well, I'm very much looking forward to that.
Yeah.
I hope to hear some info soon about that. So that's exciting. And I guess we're going to hit pause on this conversation for a quick second, and we're going to play everyone listening a single from Ben. Ghosts of Yesterday is his most recent single about the journey towards self-forgiveness. anyone just joining us, this is Hot Shots on Air. I'm Sarah Jessica, and tonight I'm speaking with Hamiltonian alternative rock slash folk musician Boxcar Ben. So we just came back from playing Ghosts of Yesterday, Ben's latest single. How long did it take you to write that song?
To write the song, probably not super long. I would say maybe a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. I've been working on the recording for almost a year. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's taken me a long time to put it out, but it was a timing thing, and I kind of wanted it to be a summer, like a spring summer song, because it has that sort of a warm vibe to it. So mm-hmm. I've been sort of sitting on it a little bit, biding my time.
Yeah. How long do your songs take to write generally?
It goes song by song for me. Mm-hmm. I really don't have a major formula for how to write my songs. I just kind of am, I'm a collector of lyrics.
Right.
For my lyricism. And then musically, it's usually just every time I practice guitar, I allot a little bit of time for songwriting / experimentation and try to just sort of keep a backlog of riffs that I'm building while I'm releasing stuff that's finished.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And where do the lyrics come from that song?
That song is sort of a reflection back to like self-forgiveness for being a certain kind of person that I don't really feel like I am in some ways anymore. Mm-hmm. And it's like sometimes a lot of my songs are sort of like little messages to myself in a way that like comes off as almost like a story. Mm-hmm. It's sort of saying to me that like I've evolved to being a different person than I have been. And that I trust myself a lot more than I used to. And it's sort of a way of like, if somebody that used to know me heard the song, could understand it maybe.
Totally. And who did you record and produce that song with?
I'm actually self-produced.
There we go.
Yeah, so I have a home studio and have just sort of been trying to teach myself all the ins and outs of production and mastering and doing mm-hmm. everything to get it to some kind of a level that's listenable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What's your home studio setup looking like?
Very crammed right now.
Mm-hmm.
right now, I'm running a Tascam 16 channel input like interface.
Mm-hmm.
So I have enough mic inputs to mic a full acoustic drum set. Mm-hmm. I have the guitar setup that I play live with, and then an array of other guitars that I kind of like dip into once in a while for different stuff. But mm-hmm. On that song, I actually used a Play School Kids xylophone piano for part of it.
That's awesome. I love that.
Yeah, I'm a Value Village, thrift store kind of hunter, and they came across this little guy in a store one day, and I was like, I can do something with this. It sounds really cool.
That's great. That's so cute.
Yeah,
and it's super cheap.
I think it gives it that sort of nostalgic feel a little bit.
Yeah. And what do you hope your listeners will take away from it?
I think it offers self-reflection.
Mm-hmm.
I think people can kind of relate to the sentiment in the lyrics where it says, what's there left to talk about?
Mm-hmm.
I think we all have gone through that where some things are just not worth fighting about anymore and you have to move on.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that it sort of has like I wanted it to have a positive feel to it because it is heavy subject matter in some ways.
Sure.
But it still is, I feel like it's still listenable. Some people that I gave some early listens to, maybe about 30 people, And some people were describing it as like driving in the car with your arm out the window in the sun, and like
oh, that's so nice. Yeah,
has a good warm feel, I think.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, what was that feedback like to hear?
It was surprisingly articulate. Mm-hmm. I didn't even think people would really care to send me feedback because I didn't ask for it. I just asked if they wanted to hear it.
Yeah,
and a lot of them felt like sharing. They're a lot of like, honestly, like majority positive feedback. And then, you know, a few like just no responses or whatever, but like people are super busy and I don't expect to be praised by everybody. Like it's, mm-hmm. it was just an experimentation and like kind of like feeling it out with people that whose musical opinions and stuff I trust.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. For sure. Yeah. And, Tiny Stone is another single of yours that we're actually going to be playing at the end of this episode. How long did it take for you to write that single?
That one fell together really fast. Mm-hmm. I think probably because of the subject matter. Mm-hmm. It was more one of those things where I knew what kind of a feeling I wanted it to represent. And in mixing sort of like the major and minor chords, you get a sort of like a melancholy, I don't want to say sadness, but there is a kind of a, there's something under the surface there. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I think probably that one I wrote within a couple of days, after, you know, dealing with some of my own feelings of grief from losing a friend of mine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what was it like to write those lyrics for you, and what was that process like?
Also very fast, mm-hmm. because of the circumstances. I think it just is one of those things sometimes that happens, I think, to a lot of creatives, is that it's almost like you're some kind of a conduit, and it just pours out of you. Mm-hmm. Like, it's very rare, but that was, Tiny Stone was one of those things that just sort of was like, everything just kind of fit.
Mm-hmm.
when it came to the next part of the song, and I knew where I wanted the feel to go without really understanding where that was coming from, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And did you find that writing process and creation process to be therapeutic? Did you find that helped with your grief?
Yeah, for sure. I think it's a catharsis that is really valuable, for sure. And I try to, like, when I do the mental health benefit shows and stuff like that, I try to like encourage that self-care, self-therapy thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. For sure. And did you also self-produce and record that?
I did. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How was that process?
That, for this sort of like project, was one of the first like acoustic driven songs I decided to put out.
Right.
And, I think it was sort of like where Ghosts of Yesterday is led to,
mm-hmm.
Sonically, like it sort of has this, you can kind of hear the trajectory there, I think.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Totally. And what do you hope that your listeners take away from Tiny Stone when they hear it?
I think that, like, just, you know, value the people you love. I think it's life is short, and at the end of the day, we're all just kind of hurtling through space on a tiny stone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There it is. And do you have a favorite single of yours?
Of mine?
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I put out a song on my acoustic album that I never really released as a single, but it was recorded with the handfuls of songs on the 2020 Vantage Point,
mm-hmm.
Acoustic album that I did, called Jumping.
Mm-hmm.
And I just had a lot of fun writing that song. And then the recording came out fairly, like the recording process for that album was very much just a mic and a guitar. And I just sat down and pounded it out.
Yeah.
but we did this like silly music video with a car, and it like has been one of my more successful YouTube videos that I've put online for some reason. I don't know if a car guys liked it or something, but it like shot through the roof in views.
That's funny.
And it was also like one of my favorite songs that came out of that album, because it was just sort of like this like whimsical riff that I had kicking around for a while that I just was like, I'm just going to blacksmith this and pound it into something. And it turned into that song Jumping.
Mm-hmm. That's great. That's a great story. So you have a show coming up in June. Do you want to tell me a bit about that?
Yeah, I've got a show with a band coming from Toronto called Critical. Mm-hmm. And I've played with them before. I think we played at the Doors Pub pre-pandemic. And they're a great bunch of guys. And they're a wild group to see live. So you should come check out the show. But it's down at the Corktown on June 3rd. And I'm not entirely sure when the time is, but it's going to be a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, I'm looking forward to it. And do you have any other shows in the works? Anything else that you're trying to make work at all?
Yeah. So I've got a huge undertaking ahead of me, actually, that I'm trying to organize, which I'd love to tell you about. Probably two charity events.
Mm-hmm.
So there's I just put this little feeler out a while ago, and I got a lot of really good feedback, and then eventually I ended up like actually sitting down and talking with a couple of venue owners in the city.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have too much details to release at this point. We're nailing down charities and performers.
Okay.
But we're going to do some fundraising for local charities, and keep it local is the main goal. And then, it'll probably be like a daytime event and a pay what you can kind of a charity event sort of thing. So, and we're, it should be a lot of fun. I'm going to try and get a pretty diverse range of musicians.
Amazing.
Around the area. Yeah.
Do we know, do we have confirmation on what charities they'll be?
I haven't confirmed anything yet. But I'm hoping to look into the realm of, food charities, and, I would like to help with, Indigenous women's, resources.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was highly recommended by a friend of mine that those kinds of places do not get any resources and funding. So locally, it'd be something I could contribute to that I think is in need. And to be fair, the list of charities is not short.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So,
definitely not. Yeah, I mean, that's so hard to narrow down and choose the one you want to donate to, right? So, but that's so exciting. I am definitely going to share that when you announce that. So keep me in the loop.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, and, for sure.
Yeah. And I just want to confirm for the June show, can people get tickets yet?
I don't think it's been announced yet.
Okay.
I won't be positive if it will have been by the time this airs, but, mm-hmm. The ticket price and, times haven't been told to me yet, but, the date and the venue is all I got.
Okay.
So yeah, June 3rd at the Corktown.
Yeah. Well, if you guys are interested, you can go check out, you know, Ben's socials and Critical socials and see if that's been posted yet. So definitely check that out. And are there any other forms of art besides music that you've wanted to dip your toes into but haven't yet?
Well, I have actually sort of dove into the arts realm of things. Mm-hmm. I have an arts background. I went to college for fine arts and stuff like that. But fast forward, I just did a couple weeks ago at Ward 4, my first art show as Boxcar Ben.
Oh,
so
cool.
I just sort of like decided to, with the encouragement of Michelle, my wife, to put my art out there sort of alongside my music.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's actually been being received really well. So I'm pretty happy about that. And, Sarah at Ward 4 is like a super supportive person in the community and doing a lot of really cool things for music and arts. So working with her was a pleasure, and yeah, it's it's a new world for me. Mm-hmm. To try and like incorporate that, but it's definitely something that it sort of makes sense once it happened.
Yeah. How would you describe your art style?
I have sort of a side of my art that is very like sci-fi fantasy driven illustration.
Okay.
And I also sort of have this like metaphysical spiritual almost watercolor painting style thing. Mm-hmm. that I sort of experimented and developed over COVID and during like quarantine and stuff like that. It just kind of was something that came out and kept going.
Cool. That's so cool. And
yeah.
Do you hope that this will be just as successful as your music, or is this a bit more of a hobby, or where would you place that?
I'm just trying to be open to whatever experiences and doors that things open for me. Right now, the latest thing that I've done is actually release a piece of like a print of an artwork that I did that coincides with the new single. Mm. That's a painting I did of the single picture art that is like a picture of the gazebo down at Bayfront Park.
Mm-hmm.
With the sun lighting it from behind and everything. And it's just sort of like a pairing, you know what I mean? So you get some art with the music and it's like a collector's item kind of thing. And
good idea. Yeah. That's so cool. Do you think that you might create some like album art or single art for yourself in the future?
Yeah. You know, spoiler alert, actually, I have created the album art that this collection of songs is going to be sort of like umbrellaed under.
Cool.
Which was done last fall. I'm just sort of taking these weird steps and getting the whole thing planned out a little bit at a time, and Ghosts of Yesterday is the first like unveiling of that grouping of stuff.
Cool. Okay. Well, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Me too.
Yeah. What have you found to be the most difficult part of the creation process for you personally? So whether that's music, whether that's art, just like creating in general. It's a big question.
Oh, geez. I think finding the time, honestly. It takes a lot of time to put together all of the pieces for a project, especially if you're the solo artist and you're doing it all yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not to take away anything from people who are working in groups together. That's even more of an undertaking as far as I'm concerned. But the time that it takes to accomplish all these things is just, if I look back on it, it's daunting, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's always been worth it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And on the flip side, what have you found to be the best part of creating art?
I think two parts. I love sharing and socializing with people through the art and the music.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that people can connect on. And the second part to that is that like the therapeutic catharsis bit, that it's just something that helps heal you.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot to do with like frequencies and sound and everything else. Like it very much is something that you can utilize to help your mental health.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How do you feel as though your style has changed since you first started creating music?
I was very unconcerned with conventions.
Mm-hmm.
as a younger musician, which led me down roads that I never would have discovered certain things.
Mm-hmm.
But the more I grow as a musician, the more I'm starting to learn that the backbone of conventional music is very beneficial too.
Mm-hmm.
And that teaching yourself some of the things that, you know, those, like those said before, those plateaus you can kind of attain. It keeps it fresh and it keeps it exciting. And there's always a learning experience with music. So,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Have you ever wanted to dip your toes into other genres of music besides what you already create? I know that you're collaborating with hip hop artists in the future. Is that something you want to do? Maybe try creating hip hop yourself, or What do you think?
Yeah, like when I would, if you go searching, you might find some. When I was, I'm scared to say that. But when I was younger, I shared an apartment with a guy that him and I recorded a bunch of hip hop together, as a lyricist and everything. But it's definitely, I think what's happening with Boxcar Ben as a project is that I'm sort of accepting that, how do I put this? I think Dave Grohl said it. It's like anything that I create is going to be the Foo Fighters. It doesn't really matter what aspect of genre it sort of pulls from.
Right.
It's going to be a Foo Fighters song, you know? And in the same sense, I think that the more I experiment with different areas of music, it's still going to be me at the end of the day. So I'm just trying to explore things in a way that, like, you know, isn't going to be abrasively, you know, off-putting.
Yeah. Is there anything related to art in general? So maybe like an area of music or visual art or something you haven't tried yet that you really want to, but you're kind of afraid to approach?
I haven't collaborated visually with anyone. There's been a few people reaching out to me to do video work and stuff like that. That's something that I would like to dip my toes into that water eventually, but it's you know, it's all a learning process on like how to do that and how to be ready for that. And not, I don't want to waste anybody else's time, right? So,
And would that be you in front of the camera or behind the camera?
I think I've considered both, but I'm just sort of putting that in the background right now because I do actually have a lot of work ahead of me this year, putting out new music and finishing off recordings. You know, at some point you have to accept what your limitations are and sort of like just sort of make sure you're accomplishing those things that you set out to.
And avoiding burnout, that helps too.
Totally. I mean, like, we all had a lot of time off in the music realm with COVID in some ways. I managed to do some online, you know, performing and stuff like that, but like it still really feels like a lot of there's still a long way to go to get the feel of like catching a pace running again, you know?
It feels like it feels like a different world now, you know?
I agree completely.
Yeah. And how has that been returning to live music after like 2 years of not being able to do that?
I'm grateful for any opportunity for sure. I think it's something that people are slowly sort of returning to comfort with. In some ways, it depends situationally, because, you know, like you can go see a huge concert now and just be shoulder to shoulder with everybody, right? and it's all in what you're comfortable with, I guess.
How has that been, you know, as a performer, being in that sort of scenario now being able to perform, like, as opposed to, you know, a concert goer?
I've always felt safe myself. Concert venue owners have always made me feel safe in their processes and the like guidelines that they were trying to follow during the pandemic and everything else. Like, everybody was trying their best, I think, and now that things have lifted, we're all erring with a bit of caution, but we're moving forward together, and I think we're allowing ourselves to have fun again, and it's beautiful to see people coming out to shows and enjoying themselves and you know, maybe just letting the fear go a little bit.
I'm looking forward to a busy summer, especially because we can do so much outside, right?
Totally.
Yeah, I'm excited for that. Where do you see yourself in 5 years? And maybe that's a bit hopefully, or where do you hope you'll be in 5 years?
Hopefully, musically, I would like to be doing probably, you know, still recording and releasing my own music. Mm-hmm. I would like to work with other people some more. I would like to reach out to musicians outside of my city. Eventually, you know, maybe do some small touring. We'll see how it goes. I don't want to like shoot too far beyond my grasp right now. And I think that like the vinyl thing is definitely on the horizon as far as a goal. But mm-hmm. yeah, I'm just honestly, like I said, I'm trying to stay open to as many opportunities and resources that I have around me, and just keep a positive outlook and keep creating stuff that I like to create.
Yeah. And what are your goals for the rest of the year?
I have some more music to release that is recorded. I have some more music to record that is written. Mm-hmm. And I have a bunch of, like I said, the charity shows. I have hopefully some outdoor concerts at Church 444 in their little alleyway there.
Okay.
I'm working with Monica over there to do some summer, like, sort of like just like part of like integrate music into their market that they have on the Saturdays and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just working with as many people as I can in the local industry and stuff like that, and getting to know my community.
Mm-hmm. Oh, totally. And what can we look forward to seeing from you in the near future?
I have probably the closest thing to give you is going to be hopefully a music video for Ghosts of Yesterday.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm working mm-hmm. on that.
Can we get a little hint as to what that could look like? up to you.
There's aspects of what we were doing with Out of Luck, where it's going to be sort of a lateral following me walking kind of thing.
Okay.
To like a bit of an end goal almost.
Okay.
But I don't want to give away too much.
Sure.
Yeah.
Of course not. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining me tonight, Ben. This is great.
Thank you so much for having me. I always appreciate talking to you, Sarah. It's really, you're doing such a cool thing for the local community.
Oh, thank you. I mean, you know, that's why I do what I do. I really, you know, appreciate all the artists. And I think there's so much talent here in Hamilton and in surrounding cities and towns that just like isn't spoken about, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. And what you're doing takes an exponential amount of knowledge and talent too, for sure.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that.
I couldn't do it. I feel like I wouldn't know what to say after a while. I don't like to hear myself talk too much, to be honest.
I mean, honestly, I'm not a big fan of it either. I just kind of push through. So,
yeah, it's weird, but like, you know, you're doing a good job, and somebody's got to do it, right? It's you're the voice for us who don't have those kinds of audiences to reach out to.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, I really enjoy doing it, so I appreciate that's appreciated.
Yeah, awesome.
And, all right, so everybody listening, you can find Ben on Instagram and Twitter under Boxcar_Ben and on TikTok under BoxcarBen. And once again, thank you so much for joining me tonight, Ben.
Thank you so much. You can actually check me out on all my platforms through my website, boxcarben.com.
Oh, there we go.
Bam.
Do it, guys. That's the big link. Look it up.
Yeah, go check it out. I got all my merch, all my music, all my art. Everything's in one place. You can read all my silly history. And yeah, send me an email, whatever. I'd love to join my mailing list or anything like that. It'd be fun.
Lovely. And also stream his music, guys. Do it. We're going to wrap up this episode with another single from Ben. Tiny Stone is a single about the passing of a loved one. And you should go on Spotify and stream it right now.
Hey, it's Boxcar Ben. You're listening to Hot Shots on Air on Indie 101.5.
story.